So exciting to be here with you tonight, and I've got a bit of a throat thing bothering me, and so hopefully my voice will survive the evening. I usually have a pretty strong voice, but it's giving me a little trouble. I'm thrilled to be here. I traveled down from Montana. As Paul shared, I've preached for over 30 years, Sunset grad, did Adventures in Missions, as some others here have done, and met my wife in Adventures in Missions, and she was a Montana girl. I was from the Toronto area in Canada, and we were extremely blessed to be able to serve God in Sydney, Australia for a year and a half and come back and go through the Sunset program for 2 years and did a church plant outside of Toronto back in 85 and worked with a church in the Detroit area, and then they helped support us go back to Montana as well, and I preached there in Livingston, Montana for 14 years, and now I've been traveling the last 4 years for this ministry, Orphans Lifeline. The preacher in Kalispell, Montana in the late 90s was going to Siberia, and he took some of the members, and they saw the terrible conditions of the orphan homes there in Siberia, and they adopted some children, and they decided to help people adopt children. And then they wanted to do more, and so they started this charity, Orphans Lifeline, through the church there in Kalispell, Montana. What does the Lord require of us? We're often thought of you know, the easy checklist of things. We're here on Sunday to worship God. We sing songs. We share around the Lord's table. We can go through a checklist of things, but God is often and most of the time calling on us to deal with reflecting His character in our daily lives. And I appreciated some of the things Paul shared this morning about us showing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control that we have to express in our lives so that we are reflecting God and showing the world around us what our God is really truly like. And we are His arms and feet and hands, and as we travel out into the world, wherever we may be. And so God is calling on us to be, as God is to those around us, a father of the fatherless. As you study the Old Testament, you constantly come across the passages where when God is rebuking the Israelites, it's often, most often, because they're failing to care for the orphans and the widows in their midst. And they're abusing the weak instead of caring for them. And so we come across this time and time again. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly before God? These are vital components of our spiritual life. And God has given us the ability to do something. And that's exactly what Orphans Lifeline is trying to do. Do something. This little child, I'll show you a picture of him later. His name is Zach. When they visited the homes in Siberia around 98, 99, he was set aside in this home. And they were picking up the babies and hugging them. And they said, well, what about him? And they said, just leave him alone. He's going to die. And they went to town and bought medicine for that child. They didn't have any medicine. And that child is alive today, and I'll show you his picture after a while. But as you travel around in the world, you see these conditions. Whether it's 10 years ago or 10 years from now, sadly, the poor, Jesus said, we will always have among us. We just will. But it's up to us. We are God's people that can make a difference in the world around us. And so we see these conditions where there's no medicine, there's no food, there's no clothes for these children. And most of these orphans will die on the streets. They will die on the streets in these countries. These pictures, these little girls here were picked up and they're in our home in Haiti. And the little girl in the middle in the greenish dress, my wife and I have been sponsoring the last number of years, and I'll show you a picture of her later as well. And so over the years, this is just a God thing. Understand, I love coming to Texas and telling people this should not be happening in a corner of Montana, but God found somebody passionate to do something, And God has blessed this ministry immensely. As they started sharing this with the churches in Montana, the churches in Montana got behind it. And Jim Miller, the preacher that was in Kalispell, traveled in the Northwest and around a bit, and funds started coming in. And so they started helping some homes, and they've just grown over the years to where you can see there we're helping in 21 homes in 8 third world countries. Literally over 750 children in those homes that are alive today, right now, today, in those homes, being cared for by people funded by Orphans Lifeline, by Churches of Christ and Christians around this country. And I know there's so many good ministries going on. I give thanks to God for dozens and dozens of worthy ministries. And I know you guys are doing mission work around the world. You're doing benevolence here in your community. There's children's homes here in America that we help. We in Montana help the Mountain States Children's Home that's just north of Denver in Longmont. And so we've got all kinds of great ministries that we can help. But God touches people's hearts for different things. And I know there's people here that would like to help some kind of orphans program. And they're going to be excited that they've seen this tonight, because God touches hearts in different ways. And so some people, they just got to help a missionary. Some people, they got to help a local children's home. But some people want to help some of these orphans in third world countries and didn't know how. And this is a great way to do it, a great opportunity for us. And so you can see where all these homes are, 1 in the Philippines, 6 in India, 2 in Pakistan, 4 in Kenya, 4 in Uganda, 1 in Liberia, 2 in Haiti, 1 in Mexico. In Russia, Barnaul and Khabarovsk are the two regions where there's missionaries that we send money to them, and it's more of a subsidy to help in those Russian homes. And so we don't fund and manage those homes. They're Russian homes. But that's where this ministry started. But God has blessed it far beyond that field. And we continue to add more. The home in Liberia, Ron Popberg is the vice president with World Bible School. And he's in Sierra Leone in Liberia every November and visiting and working with the World Bible School representatives and training people. And he helped start this home in Liberia, and he found me online. He was a classmate of mine. He found me online, said, "I've got this home that needs help." And I said, "We don't have any money." And finally, after a number of months, I said, "Well, you come up to Montana and I'll get you an appointment with our CEO." And we sat in the meeting, and long story short, they said, "We'll do it." And they looked at me and said, "Calvin, you've got your work cut out for you this year." Because there were 50 children in that home that were going to have no funding in January. And the Lord blessed us in our travels. We sponsored more than 50 kids that year to provide that funding. And so it's just God has really, really worked in this ministry. There are a lot of orphans in our world because there's so many conditions such as war in our world. This little child saw his parents killed and they chopped his leg off. So that he couldn't be a threat to them. In Liberia and Sierra Leone, there was terrible civil war. John Travis, that runs the orphan home there, a safe home in Liberia, he had to flee his village, and Ron met him in Ghana in refugee camps. And he was taking care of kids. He said, "If I can ever get back to Liberia..." But Ron told me, he said, "Did you ever watch Blood Diamonds?" I said, "No, I didn't want to see that movie." He said, "You need to watch it." And I grudgingly watched that movie because it's pretty gory, because it shows a true story of what happened in Liberia. And these rebels came into villages, and in that movie, he said, it's the true story. He said, the women and children, they let go. I don't know that that happened all the time. But the young men, they took to work in their mines and things. The young boys, they took and trained them to be killers for them. And the old men, they brought them to a block in the village. And they said, "Do you want a long sleeve or a short sleeve?" And Ron said, "You heard of that?" I said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "I have some of those." He said, "No." He said, They chopped them off at the at the wrist or the elbow, so those old men couldn't be a problem for them later on. That's what's going on in our world up to this day in different areas of our world. Sadly, war is creating a lot of orphans. Diseases that we no longer have in our country are still rampant in some of these third world countries, of course, and water conditions. And you've seen meat markets in third world countries are not quite up to the standards that we have here in America. This was the bathroom facilities for elementary kids here. And of course, when Orphans Lifeline starts funding a home, we have to up the standards and get these conditions fixed up for these children so that they can experience good conditions in their life. And so another reason there's so many orphans is because of alcoholism. We have alcohol problem in America, but it's way worse in third world countries. Drugs and alcohol destroy people, and then they can't care for their children. And so having a life there with no hope and all alone is what we find. And you can see it in these children's eyes. They're hopeless and they don't have anywhere to turn. They don't have any recourse. They don't have a social safety net like we have in America. They have only the will of people from a country far, far away, the United States. And it doesn't have to be this way. We can change their lives. And I love pictures like this that show a picture of the child when they come to the home and what they're like after they get food and love and they're being taught about the A's and B's, 1 and 2, and they're being taught to know the Lord, the most important thing. And as we gain awareness of the conditions, we can have the compassion to do something about it. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share with you all tonight. Orphans Lifeline has a great model. And as Paul shared earlier, there's no Americans in our homes in these third world countries. We have people that check on the homes to ensure that everything's being done properly. And in fact, they're fully aware there is a lot of fraud in child care in the world, sadly. I mean, it's of all things, these kids need help and people are taking advantage. And so there's a lot of reporting to ensure that things are done properly. We have people that go and visit, like Ron Popberg is in Liberia every November and visiting that home. But these three key elements, that we care for their everyday needs, we get them off the streets and get them fed and clothed. And we know what the kids are eating. It has to be reported to the home office. We want to provide them with a good education so all of these children, the 750 plus, are in private education. And so education by governments in third world countries will not enable those children to go on to higher learning. We want these kids to be a blessing in their culture. That's the long-term goal. And so they're not cut off when they're 17 or 18. We want to help them be able to make a difference in their culture. And so we're trying to provide. And I'll show you some pictures of kids that are in nursing school. They're in engineering school. There's a picture of a young man that has his own apparel shop, which is just thrilling. And thirdly, of course, they're learning about the Lord so they can be a blessing in their culture and the local churches. And so important. And so feeding them and seeing their happy faces with their bellies full. And a lot of these kids, like here in Safe Home, John Travis is here on your left. A lot of them are doing agriculture. Learning agriculture is part of their education so they can be more self-sustaining in the home as well as when they leave the home. And here, Ron Popberg is that pale fella up there in the top left. And as I said, he's over there. He helped start this home. And he's all the time trying to find ways for it to be self-sustaining. Well, they had a year-round spring. And so the kids and workers dug these rice paddies. They dug these paddies, these ponds, so they could grow rice. They needed rice to feed the kids. And so they dug them by hand. and there you can see the rice growing there. Now they're going to change. I'll show you a picture. They did something different because they couldn't grow enough rice to feed the kids. And I'll show you a picture in a little while. We're providing water for the children, of course. You know, we have Healing Hands International in our brotherhood that's all about water. Healing Walk for Water, a great organization. Their main focus is water. Well, all our children, they are going to have good water to drink in these homes. We're providing medical care for these children and dentist care. It's not quite like our dentist shop, but here the kids are getting eye exams. I was so excited when I saw this picture recently in one of our newsletters to see that they're checking their eyes. They're trying to do everything to help these children be blessed in their culture. And medicine cabinets with medicine in them, so they can actually help children that are sick. And so providing an education and skills training is so vital to these children. And so, as I said, they're all in private education, whether on site or they go off site to education. Here at Safe Home, they had a building already in place for the children. Before we started funding them 2 years ago, the school had closed. They didn't have enough funding. And so we've been able to reopen the school. And all the children are in the school. They're actually educating some of the children from the local village to be a blessing to them for a small amount of money, not enough to pay, you know, the normal amount, but they're doing it to be a blessing to these children. And so in all of our homes, they're in education, learning so that they can go on to higher education. The desks aren't quite what we're used to. The classrooms don't have quite the amenities that we're used to, but they're learning, and they're going to be highly educated children. They're learning to do different projects. Here we're building a chicken barn building so that they could have these chickens, and there was an NGO, a non-government organization, that would provide the chicks if they had a place. So they provide the chicks the first round. If they raise the chicks and are able to get them to market or eat them, whatever their goal, if that happens, well, the NGO the second time will give them the chicks and the food, the feed for them. And so that incentivizes them to really learn and to be productive. And so Ron helped them there at Safe Home connect with that NGO to be able to do that. And here is the picture of those ponds, those rice paddies. They decided they couldn't get enough rice, and so they dug the rice paddies deeper, and they have fish ponds. So by hand, they dug these ponds for fish. You know, I didn't realize how important protein is to our brain. Now, I know you young men, you build muscles with protein, and I'm trying to hang on to some of mine. You know, I eat protein and exercise a bit, but we need protein for our brain to function. And as the protein intake goes up, so does these kids' grades in school. And so they want to ensure all of our children in our homes receive protein every day. That does not happen for children in third world countries. They do not eat protein every day. But in our homes, they do, so that they can grow healthy and strong physically and mentally and spiritually. This young man in India grew up in our home there, and he has his own shop there where he's selling clothing. And I was so excited to see that picture. That's 4 or 5 months ago it came out in the newsletter. Just an exciting news about what's happening for these children and leading them to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as we have the opportunity to here as well. And to see the children studying the Word of God, reading their Bibles. I'm an evangelist. I trained at Sunset School of Preaching so I could help lead people to the Lord. That's my greatest desire of my life, is seeing people come to the Lord. And it was a real transition for me to go from being a local preacher to traveling and speaking for Orphans Lifeline. And so when I decided I'll do this for you, I said, I want to know how much they're in the Bible. I want to know how much they're all there. They told me they're studying the Bible all the time. I said, I hear you. I want to know for a fact how much they're studying and in Bible class. And so they sent an email for me to all the managers and asked them, how much are the children in the Bible, doing devotionals in Bible class, reading their Bible? And all the managers came back. It's at least an average of an hour a day for all these children. And I was really thankful to hear that. And I wish with all my heart that all our children in America were in studying their Bible an hour every day. And so I believe that we have a great foundation for these children to know the Lord. And I wish that I could say every single one of them would be a faithful Christian when they grow up. But I don't believe that's a reality, as we struggle with that right here in America with our children. But it's great to see these children learning to know the Bible stories, to know how God's worked and what God's doing today. And so it's just thrilling. All the children get a Bible. It's one of their first possessions. When they come into one of our orphans' homes, they get a Bible. They don't own anything else, but they own a Bible. If you sponsor a child, they'll get a Bible with your name in it. And this is a picture of a child. A church up in Washington, Shelton, sponsored this child. They actually sponsored two kids in Safe Home in Liberia. And they get a little note in the Bible. You know, the nice thing about Liberia, they speak English. That's a nice thing for people like me, that's really the only language I know. I parlez-vous français a little bit, you know. Some of you probably know Spanish a whole lot more than I know French, but I know a little bit. But they speak English there in Liberia. I did not know this, that after the Civil War here in the United States, a lot of the slaves went back to Liberia. That's where a lot of them were from, Liberia and Sierra Leone. And so that's Liberia is liberty. And Freeport is the capital of Sierra Leone, Freeport. And so some history there that we often aren't so aware of. But it's just a real blessing to see these kids learning about the Lord, seeing them being immersed into Jesus Christ, into the family of God. And as I shared, World Bible School, we're doing what we can to utilize the World Bible School in our homes and working with them as we're able to. And I know Ron has some more homes there in Liberia that he wants us to take over and manage. And as God blesses us with funds, we'll be able to do that and help them raise to the same standard as you'll see there at Safe Home. And these are some of the improvements that we've made there at Safe Home. They didn't have running water to the buildings. They were going way off to where the pump was to get water. And so we funded the little tower there to get the tank up and get the pump there to give them the pressure for the water lines to run. They had a clinic. Safe Home was a medical clinic originally back in the 70s. A doctor and nurse from here in America started a clinic there in Liberia, and it was Safe Home Clinic. Well, after the Civil War started, that all ended. And so when John Travis came back and started the orphans' home, he used that facility, and then they've added on and utilized that building. And so just last year, we were able to put another building up, and there is a functional clinic there again being funded through Orphans Lifeline, so that the children have all got their shots. They're doing it for the locals around there, and it's being a blessing to everyone. We were able to get John a little used pickup to use that he needed, got the fence around the property, which is pretty important in some of these areas. You can see in the bottom left here, bottom right, when I first saw this picture, and that's kind of small for you, I looked at that initially and I thought, oh, they're carting off all the old desks. I knew they were getting new desks for the school. No, they're piling the new desks up on that truck. It's just a big pile of them that they're going to haul out to Safe Home. So It's amazing how things are done a little different in other places. One of our homes in India, CCIM, this home that they've been working with the director for more than 10 years, he was losing his facility. He was renting facility. And he was having trouble finding a place to rent, very Hindu population. And one of the Christians donated some land. And so, believe it or not, the church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, gave enough money to fund building a new building for them there in India. And they built the first story and put the structure up for a second story. And they had 40 to 50 children there. And you can see this past year, Sioux Falls gave the money to put the second story on this building so that we have over 70 children in this home in India now that we're caring for, funding and managing. And just fantastic to see these children and the lives being changed. And one of the things that I have coming up here in the slide is this girl, young lady, grew up in the home. She's a nurse serving in a neonatal unit. And it's so great to see. And here was a picture that you would receive in the newsletter. A monthly newsletter comes out. But I went in and located what all these young ladies were doing. They came back to visit the home. They came back to visit the one that had cared and loved them. And one's a mother there. You can see her child, a nurse, a college student, married, college student. And these are graduates from that home that are being educated and going to continue to be a great blessing in that country, in their culture, and in their churches. A little bit can make a huge difference, and we literally are saving lives. This is the little baby, Zach Jones. I had that picture of him up until 2 years ago. That's the most recent picture I had of that young fella, and I'd always hear about him. Well, he's in Norman, Oklahoma. He was adopted by a family in Washington. He's growing up in Norman, Oklahoma. He's a great young man in their youth group. He's a leader in their youth group. And 2 years ago, I was at Oklahoma Christian for the lectures, and I heard Zach Jones was at Oklahoma Christian. And I said to Lynn McMillan, I got to meet Zach Jones. And so he emailed Zach Jones and said, you know, a representative from Orphans Lifeline would like to meet him. And we got to meet, and I got a picture with Zach Jones, the little baby that was set aside to die in Siberia so many years ago, is at OC. Now, that's one in a million, and I'll be totally honest with you. A lot of babies that are adopted from Siberia, Russia, depending on how they've been treated as babies, some of them do really well, and some of them don't do so well because they're so troubled from their early years. But it's just thrilling to see Zach. He's an engineering student and doing so wonderful. Well, Orphans Lifeline doesn't help adopt children anymore. We're doing it in culture, in those homes. We're blessing the culture and saving lives. That middle picture up there is Widnadine. Widnadine is growing up in Haiti. And my wife and I have been sponsoring her for the last number of years. And we get a new picture of her every 6 months, seeing how she's doing. And on that poster, there's a little note from Widnadine telling about herself. And it's just awesome to see the growth and the change taking place in her life. And so if you are able to sponsor a child, you get a picture, a poster of the child, and an update every 6 months. And so how can we help in this program? It takes American dollars to really help things happen. And somebody, the old story about the two guys walking along the beach, and the one guy's picking up starfish and throwing them back in the ocean, and the beach is covered with starfish. And his buddy says, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm saving the starfish. He said, look at them all. You can't save them all. He said, no, as he picked one up, but I just saved that one. And, you know, I wish that we could save every single child that's an orphan in our world. They say there's over 170 million, but we can do something. We can do something, and that's what Orphans Lifeline's trying to do, and many other ministries out there trying to do something to help these children so they can be a blessing in their world. And so any amount will make a difference. I've got lots of brochures at the back, and I want you to have a brochure that tells about Orphans Lifeline. In the middle, there's an envelope. If you need an envelope to put any thing in that might help one of these children, if you want to give me something, that's wonderful. You can mail something in. You can go online to orphanslifeline.org, and you can, it's right here on the back, and you can sign up online to help in any way that you, in any amount. I tell people, if all you can help with is a dollar, that's fine, because if a million people gave a dollar, we'd have $1 million. And so a dollar's not too little amount to help with. Orphans Lifeline started with Orphans Sunday back around 2000. And there in Montana, churches started giving in November for Orphans Sunday. And we still have a few hundred churches in the United States that in November do Orphans Sunday. And we received so far this year just over $200,000 from the Orphans Sunday collections. And so we do have that. So we have people giving monthly. We have congregations that do the special collection. And we have people starting just 4 years ago sponsoring children. And many years ago, when my youngest daughter was a baby, she was babysitting a lot. And we were helping Orphans Lifeline while I was preaching in Livingston, Montana, and she knew about it. We always did Orphan Sunday, and so she's making money babysitting. She said, "Dad, I want to sponsor one of the children." Oh, wow. Isn't that special when one of your kids comes up to you and says, "Dad, I want to help one of these little children." I said, "That's just great, darling. I'll call the office, you know." And I called, and I got Tim in the office. I said, "Tim, you won't believe it. My little baby, she's making a little money. She wants to sponsor a child." And he said, "Well, Kelvin, we don't sponsor children." I said, "Tim, you didn't hear me right. My little baby wants to sponsor a child. You understand?" He said, "Well, we don't do that." He said, "You know, we don't have all the managers, you know, with able to get the pictures, and it'll cost more money. We don't, you know, they're always trying to save money." And this is one of the most frugal organizations you'll ever meet. 87 to 89 cents of every dollar goes into the program. So you wonder, where's your money go? 87 to 89 cents goes to the kids. And so that's the goal. The goal is to get to 90. And as we get more funds in, we'll be able to attain that goal. Just 4 years ago, they decided they would sponsor children, but they said, "We're going to use a real number." And out in child care in third world countries, $35 a month is the number that gets thrown around. You can feed and clothe a child for $35 a month in a third world country. Well, that's all you can do for $35 a month. And they said, "We're not going to use that number." They decided to use $100 a month, because not only do we feed and clothe children, we want to make sure they get a private education. And that's another $30, $35 a month per child. We want them to have care providers. We want them to have buildings that need upkeep and maintenance. And so they came up with an average of around $100 a month will provide for a child in a third world country totally. Now, you try to care for a child in America for $100 a month, it can't be done. And yet, you know, in third world countries with American money, it can. And so I realize $100 a month is not pocket change. It's a lot of money, and it's a real commitment, and not everybody can do that. And so we have churches that sponsor a child for the church to have. We have a number of churches that have done that. And we have other people that can do more than one. And I know some folks that said, "Hey, I want to help, and I want to help with that program, Kelvin." Well, I knew these people. I'd known them for quite some time, and they're in the auto industry in Detroit, and they've got grandchildren. And I thought, "Lord, I don't know how to ask them. I don't know what to tell them of how they could help with Orphans Lifeline. And I thought, you know what would be really cool? Because their grandchildren are going to grow up with a lot of money. And wouldn't it be nice if those grandchildren knew what some of their money could do? And so I suggested they sponsor a child for each of their 6 grandchildren. And they did. Now, they have more money than most of us do. And what a blessing that they could do that, and they did. I just thank God for people like that. And so we don't know, and I don't know when I go and speak places. I just know that God works in hearts to bring about good in his world. And I'm so thankful to be here today to be able to share with you just another ministry that maybe your heart is touched for. God is really calling on us to go and learn what it means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. These are important things to God, vitally important. And often we've overlooked some of these very vitally important characteristics of God in our desire to make sure we do the right thing. Now, I want us more than anybody to do the right thing, but one of the right things is using the resources that God has given us to bless those without, and to do it responsibly, definitely do it responsibly. And so God's given us that ability. Jesus is in Matthew 23 rebuking the Pharisees very strongly. And he finally says in chapter 23 and verse 23, "You tithe your dill, mint, and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, faithfulness, and mercy. You should have done these without neglecting the others." He didn't tell them to quit tithing. He just said the most important thing is to show the heart of God in what you're doing. Make sure and do the right things, but show the love and mercy and grace of God in your living. Show the character of God from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These characteristics are the very heart of God. And I liked what Paul said this morning, that maybe there's some things that in this list that we could focus on this year or this day or this week. Pick something, because we do have rooms that need to be cleaned out, and they need to be filled with the character of God. And so there's some of these characteristics that we need to grow in, and God is doing things around us and wants to help us if we'll listen and we'll allow his word to touch our heart. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ, if you need to have your sins washed, buried in the waters of baptism, raised to new life, if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters here, there's a song chosen, and I'm going to call on our brother to come up and lead us in that song. And if you need to respond to the gospel, please come while we all stand and sing together.